to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Felicia.
I'm Lauren.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
And here we are in our second week of October. Are Woo! You feeling the fall vibes yet?
I am. Unfortunately, it's 85 degrees in Dallas still.
I know. We actually had some good fall weather. It did get very rainy, so that was unfortunate, but it was the correct weather for like a sweatshirt and a jeans and a jacket, and that was nice.
I'm so jealous. Nice. I pulled out my hot coffee to have like pumpkin spice hot coffee this morning.
Oh.
I was sweating, drenched in sweat.
You're going to have to get you got to do the iced.
I know.
You know what's so good though is the Starbucks pumpkin, is it just a cold brew? The pumpkin cold
brew. Oh yeah.
That is fire. That is so good.
I almost like it better than a pumpkin spice latte because it's like
I think I do too.
Light.
It's more, and it's also more coffee-y.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not just like a frappuccino.
Not just a frappuccino. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, actually, I mean, we're talking about recommendations, but if we're already talking about food,
yeah,
we thought that this week we could talk about our favorite Halloween candy very briefly. And I think, yes. Do we have the same one, actually? That would be boring.
Probably. What's yours?
Is it Reese's?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Although I do love, I was going to say, did you say it cut out right when you said it? You said Reese's Pieces, right?
No.
Oh, the pumpkins.
Yeah. And I said Reese's because like I say Reese's, but I do say Reese's sometimes. I say Reese's other times, but I always say Reese's Pieces, which I know is wrong. But I can't stop and I won't stop.
You can't say Reese's Pieces.
No. Who? Who would say it?
A monster.
Reese's Pieces.
I love that. Yeah. Those Reese's pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. They're so good. The Reese's Pieces are also like the best movie theater candy, in my opinion.
I totally agree. And I still feel like there's a part of me that like, I don't know. I said this the other day that like, regardless of what candy it is, for some reason, still like having a full size candy bar still gives me the thrill of like when you got it in your trick or treating basket. Yes. Like you're like a full size
candy bar. That's so sick.
Even like a Hershey's, like I'm still delighted. Just a big Hershey's chocolate bar.
That's so true. And honestly, I don't think we treat ourselves to a big Hershey's bar often enough. Like, I feel like I'm always like, I eat them, like the mini ones, if they're being given out. Like, why am I not buying myself full size chocolate bars when I go to the store? Like, that, you know what I do get though sometimes is the bag of the dark chocolate thin Reese's.
Mm-hmm.
Those are something
really nice.
I will just straight up buy those and be like, these are just my snack.
Oh my gosh, they're so good. Have you ever had the Trader Joe's like Reese's? Yes. Or they're like peanut butter cups? Yeah.
So good. They're great. They're so good.
I did do my Trader Joe's pumpkin haul. I didn't go quite as crazy as last year.
What did you get? I got top couple items.
Yes. Top couple items. I got pumpkin spice coffee. And then I got pumpkin ravioli.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Butternut squash soup.
I got that same soup.
So good.
So good.
And then like the autumnal pasta sauce I got too.
The autumnal. Do you get the apple cider donuts? Those are my fave.
I normally do. I didn't this time, but
okay.
They're really good.
I'm not like a huge donut person, but like those are so good.
It's really the best. And I got like a little pumpkin.
Oh, nice. Oh, I got the, this is also Trader Joe's, the pumpkin-shaped pasta.
Oh, wait, I did too.
Oh, did you already cook it?
No. Uh-oh.
Okay, it cooks a little odd to me because, like, the structure of the pumpkin doesn't really want to hold together. So it kind of ends up being a lot of smashed pumpkins.
Oh, no.
So,
I thought they looked so cute.
They are cute, and they taste like pasta. They don't taste like anything other than pasta.
Anything
and
special.
So I did eat them, and I'm going to keep eating them because that's my favorite food. But I will say they don't hold their shape. Like, they kind of break apart.
I should have known.
But can you imagine if they didn't break apart and you could stuff them with little bits of mozzarella?
Yes. A little bit of cheese, a little ricotta.
But, oh, God, a little ricotta. What is this podcast? What are we talking about?
People love it.
Do they? Who? One time, oh, actually, I'll say thank you now. I looked on our, I never look at our Apple podcast reviews because when we first started, we begged a couple of our friends to put reviews so that it looked like somebody had listened to our podcast. And now there's actually reviews on there and they're very nice.
There aren't any one stars?
No, I don't think so. No, they were all very kind.
Can you imagine? And I was like, wow. Like, they were talking about ricotta.
It was super boring and not even spooky. Oh, okay. All right. We've spent enough time on the food. Yes, let's move to recommendations. What do you got?
So I have been watching pretty much nonstop, and it's still painful for me to do so, the Jeffrey Dahmer TV show.
Okay. I want to hear, because I got through the first two episodes, and I had to stop because what is that feeling I'm feeling when I'm watching it?
I feel so disturbed.
And it's like, not really in a fun way.
No, it's zero fun. We forced ourselves to finish it. Where's like, the fun? I don't know what to say. I said this to one of my coworkers where I was like, I just don't know why I like, I don't know. It's like, I'm not a gay man. Like, it feels very distant, like too real, sort of, but it's like, you know that it happened and it was so effed up
that it's just so real, like realistic in terms of the acting. It's like, oof, it's heavy. And you know what, and it should be, because it's heavy material. Like, it doesn't, I'm like, obviously serial killer things shouldn't be fun because they're about serial killers, but I don't know, like, it's not, it's, it was so much heavier than I expected to be, which I know makes no sense. Like,
no, I agree.
Like, you know that Ted Bundy movie? It's like filmed a little with fun. There's no fun in the Dahmer.
And it's also not like I feel like I watch a lot of like true crime or like Dateline or like, you know, things that are like actually what happened. And for some reason, it's just like, I don't know. I think it's because like, I don't know. I've read a lot about like, there's a lot of online backlash because they didn't talk to the victims' families.
Yes. Yeah.
Ahead of it, which I do find really, like, especially later. I don't want to, like, I don't know if spoilers is even the right word because it all happened, but like, there's a scene in the courtroom where a lot of the victims' families speak that's like, they use their exact words in the Netflix show. And I'm like, I think that would bother me. Like, if that was, I don't know, if that was my, like, especially if that was me in court using my own words, and then they just like put it in the show.
Especially thinking about like the amount of people making their livings and profiting off of something so horrible, and then like using your traumatic experience and you're not getting any money for it. I don't know. That is pretty brutal.
I think the other thing that was so unsettling to me is how many times he was almost caught. Like, for some reason, that also makes it so much more disturbing to watch, where you're just like, it's not like he was flying under the radar and was really good. It's like there were multiple times that like people complained about the smell, like all this stuff that's like he should have been caught.
If people were paying attention.
And if cops were good. Right,
if police were paying attention,
And it's like, I think it's like that perfect, I don't know, it's like so, it's obviously so upsetting too because it affected the gay community so strongly, where it's like that again like, the AIDS pandemic, like anything like that, that it's just like, geez, people were literally just like, we don't want to deal with this, so we won't pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And even Dahmer being like, I'm going to kill these people because no one's going to miss them.
I know.
Some fucked up.
So, so gross. But,
yeah.
But I got through it. And I do think Evan Peters' performance is remarkable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen him in anything and not fallen in love with him.
Yeah.
Except for during this, because I can't fall in love with Jeffrey Dahmer. But just as an actor, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
I think he's so amazing.
Oh my God. And they do get to like the fan letters in jail part. And that's like,
oh, it's like, what
is wrong with people?
I don't know. That always freaks, like, the people that like write to serial killers, I'm just like, what is that about for you?
I don't know.
What is that?
And they're in jail. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's crazy. All right. My recommendation is a much lighter note, but it was something I was pretty disappointed by. And I thought that I couldn't be disappointed by it. So it was shocking. And that was Hocus Pocus 2.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's not what I thought.
No.
Did it feel like they were improvising and like took the best takes sometimes?
I just felt, I don't know. The fact that they began, like they entered the scene, the three witches with a song. I was like, what?
And that wasn't very good. No. And then like it was just sort of, it felt like they didn't get a script and that they were just riffing. Yeah. Based on their memory of the last movie.
I agree.
I don't know. And like,
the young girls were actually pretty good, I will say.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, like I felt like they were fine. It was fine. It just wasn't like, I feel like that was a pretty easy sequel to get right in certain ways because it's so beloved. Yeah. But somehow I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it, which it was such a bummer.
I also felt like it was just like, I don't know. I felt like Sarah Jessica Parker had like so many lines that I was like, I really don't think you were like a fleshed out character. Like you should have just stayed.
Said your little bit.
Stayed like a sidekick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was the writing. I don't know if it was like, it felt kind of rushed. Like it felt like something that was thrown together. Which I'm like, yes, there's no way they threw together Hocus Pocus 2. So how did this happen?
And like kind of low budget, which was like, wait, why?
Yeah. Who directed it?
Oh, I did look this up. It's she also choreographed it.
Oh.
Yeah, she was somehow involved as a female director.
And choreographer.
It was Anne Fletcher, who you might know from directing The Proposal.
Choreographer, a step up. Okay.
Yep. She seems like she's mostly a choreographer, which, you know, no shame. Just interesting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
she directed Dumplin', our fave.
Oh my God, we love Dumplin'. Interesting. I don't know. Why couldn't they get Kenny Ortega to do it?
I know. What's he doing?
Are you busy? You couldn't come through for us for Hocus Pocus 2? I don't understand.
I also kind of felt like I wish, I don't know. I was a little sad that they didn't ask any of like the kids or.
I know. Like, that was weird to me too. It's kind of, like, they did like the. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it just felt like, why not? They are all available, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially like, I mean, Max. Oh my gosh. People were in love with Max. Like, why was he not? And then Danny, I just don't understand. And no. Allison is still an actor.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? Like, they could have done, like, a full reunion. Like, what they should have done, obviously, is that Allison and Max ended up together. They had a child. Yes. And now the child is being hunted by the Sanderson sisters.
I agree.
I mean, you're welcome, Disney. I just gave that to you in 2 seconds. She wrote it. Oh, God. But yeah, it was a bummer.
I got the like, I don't know. I also walk like a very fine line of like, I like pro female feminist content. But like at the end when she was like, I miss my sisters. I was like, what?
Winifred would never. And no. I understand they were trying to like humanize Winifred and make them like,
sure,
she's only evil because she had a bad childhood. And it's like, it's okay for witches just to be evil. Like, it doesn't, it's okay. It's a kid's movie. Like, I don't need the whole backstory,
them as kids.
Yeah, I just didn't need it. I don't know. Where was Max? That's all I want to know. I know he's not really an actor anymore, but he could have
still would have liked it.
I still would have liked it.
A little cameo, something.
Yeah. And then the cat never talked.
Nope.
The cat came out and they were like, and they were like, oh, is that? And I know Binks died, but like, I thought it would have been cool if at some point he was like, hello.
I know.
Like, another in the last cat. Moments. I mean, I feel like I could have wrote this movie in like about 15 minutes.
I agree. It's fine. I agree.
All right. Should we get into it?
We should get into it. I'm excited about your topic today. I know very little.
Me too. Yeah, it's similar like to your Grim Reaper, where it's like something you kind of know so well imagery wise, but like you don't know why it exists. So yes. Today I'm talking about Baphomet, or just the idea of the goat as devil in, you know, our culture and in movies and etc. So let's do this. All right, Baphomet. So the first mention of Baphomet was actually during the First Crusades. And there was, in a letter, a warrior wrote that they thought, and this is just like, it's hilarious, honestly. They thought they heard the Turks who were going into battle yelling Baphomet, but most people think that they were actually yelling Muhammad.
Oh my God.
And it was just so many people, this person misunderstood. And so they were like, oh, what's Baphomet? So Baphomet became this like, and because they were like against the Turks, they of course made it into this dark thing that some kind of demon, like clearly this group is worshiping some kind of demon, whatever. And then in 1307, we're going to move right along about 300 years to the next time it kind of comes up in history, is actually by the Knights Templar, which you may know by the Holy Grail.
Oh!
There's those cats. So the Knights Templar were also known as the Poor Knights of Christ, and they were a religious military group that was established during the Crusades and became a really powerful force, but they didn't answer to a particular king or country. They answered to God. So okay. countries were very intimidated by this ever-growing powerful Knights Templar that could pretty much take any of them down if they wanted to. And by the way, this is not a history lesson, and I am generalizing and exaggerating. I'm just telling a story, people. But this is, you know, this is the basics. So at a certain point, King Philip the, let's see, fourth of France was really mad at the Knights Templar. And so he basically started this rumor that they were worshiping, you know, the devil in certain ways, but ultimately this figure of Baphomet. So after these accusations happened in 1307, King Philip pressured the Pope at the time, Pope Clement, to have many of the Knights Templar members in France arrested and tortured until they gave false confessions to worshiping Baphomet and other demons. And then those knights were burned at the stake. Yeah. But something that is pretty cool is that the Knights Templar actually still exists today. And it's probably like, I think it was only disbanded one time for like 7 years or something. But it's like one of the oldest groups to like have ever existed. So I just thought that was pretty cool. They've been around for like over 1,000 years.
And torturing to false confessions was happening so long ago, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, I just thought that was cool. Still around. Amazing. Still kicking. Yeah. But there was never any sort of imagery around Baphomet until he was drawn for the first time and put into a book, which was called Dogme et Ritual de la Haute Magie, which was published in 1861, and in English is called Transcendental Magic, Its Doctrine and Ritual. Which is like, that's a book I'm trying to read.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so this Baphomet then became, based on this drawing that we will post, is the most known drawing of Baphomet, became associated with this image of the Sabbatic goat. So this book and drawing is by Eliphas Levi, I think I'm saying his name right, who is French. And the imagery, and once again, you can pull this up on our Instagram, but I'm just going to describe it to you and kind of take you through each piece of it. So the first thing you'll notice is, of course, the goat's head on what seems to be a human body with big wings.
Yeah.
With big wings. And it's actually, even though it does look spooky, it is also kind of a beautiful image. And ultimately, what the image is supposed to symbolize is this idea of balance. And that is put into play in almost every part of the image. So for example, it shows all the different elements on it: fire, water, air, and earth. The body is supposed to have male and female parts. Yeah. It's supposed to, it has both crescent moons, the waning and the waxing moon. The front of the goat's head is wearing this thing on its forehead that is the pentagram. And the pentagram, I think, is typically a sign of protection. And it actually is later that people started turning the pentagram upside down, and it also looks like a goat head, and that became like the dark version of that. So
okay,
that's interesting.
I feel like I've seen this picture now that I'm like thinking about it, but I'm not sure.
You've definitely seen it. Let's see. The flame, it says here, the flame of intelligence shining between its horns is the magic light of universal balance. And the image of the soul is elevated above matter. So I don't know. It's actually a really, really cool image. Yeah. So that's the Eli part of it. And then we're going to skip ahead even further.
Even further.
And that is to Aleister Crowley, who was he did a lot of things, but ultimately he was an occultist that, and I don't really know why, but I listened to something and I guess he's sort of controversial, but I can't remember why exactly. But he
maybe
started
just
using,
he's an occultist.
Maybe. But he started using this image to, in his agnostic mass or black mass of Satanism. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So I don't know if you, have you seen the movie that's called, I think it's about the Satanic Temple. It was on Netflix and it's about them putting up the statue of Baphomet. You know what I'm talking about?
No. You're not talking about Sabrina,
maybe it was Hulu.
Right?
No, it might have been Hulu. Hold on. Oh, it's Hail Satan?
Oh, I've definitely seen ads for that, but I never watched it.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty cool documentary, and it's basically about the people associated with the Satanic Temple, which is, they're trying to put up this giant Baphomet to stand against people putting up religious statues in public places, ultimately. Where it's like, if you're going to say freedom of religion, and if you're going to have to say to all, and basically like proving how ridiculous it all is. So it's actually pretty cool. The Church of Satan, the Church of Satan, the Satanic Temple are two different things. So here's a quick rundown of the differences between the Satanic Temple, which is a newer organization founded in 2013, versus the Church of Satan, which is from like the 1960s. So the Satanic Temple is actually an officially recognized church.
Oh, wow.
Like our government says it is. The Church of Satan is not. And neither of these religions believe in Satan. Like, they don't actually base their practices around the idea of Satan, though the Church of Satan does believe in magic and the Satanic Temple does not.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and the Satanic Temple is primarily, the intention of it is to preserve and advance secularism and individual liberties. So what they're really about the separation of church and state. And so them putting up the Baphomet was like that the idea right. of doing that.
More just like, yeah, F you yeah. and you're having religious yes. statues. Less like we worship the devil.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah. So coming back now, so Aleister Crowley in the early 20th century put Baphomet into his agnostic mass. And it says here, so he wrote a bunch of books, this one being Magic, Book 4. And in that one, it says Baphomet was a divine and androgyne, so like androgynous, and hieroglyph of arcane perfection, seen as that which reflects what occurs above, so reflects below, or as above, so below. So that's also this idea of like balance. And we see that in a lot of different religions and cultures and all of that. But ultimately, that's what Baphomet is all about. He also writes in this book, and this is a quote, "The devil does not exist. It is a false name invented by the Black brothers to imply a unity in their ignorant muddle of dispersions. A devil who had any unity would be a god. The devil is historically the god of any people that one personally dislikes." It's kind of like hardcore. Yeah. "This serpent, Satan, is not the enemy of man, but he who made gods of our race, knowing good and evil. He bade know thyself and taught initiation." Yeah. So ultimately, I think what he's saying is there is no God, there is no devil. And to him, this idea of Baphomet means the union of opposites.
Mm-hmm.
So then we start to see it used in association with the Satanic Panic movement. And also particularly it was taken on by counterculture groups such as like heavy metal bands and black metal. And this, the not only the Baphomet image, but also the upside down pentagram, which is used in it's actually the symbol of the Satanic Temple and the Church of Satan. It's this upside down pentagram goat's head thing. So it got taken on a lot. And these things that felt very like devilish and spooky and seemed, and to back in the 80s with Satanic Panic, something to be feared, something that felt occultish and evil. So, yeah. And then I guess in more recent news, the 2018 Netflix series, as you briefly mentioned, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So there is a giant Baphomet at the Academy of Unseen Arts, and the Satanic Temple tried to sue the show for using what they said was their personal depiction of Baphomet, and it was settled out of court somehow.
I feel like they, yeah, anytime it's settled out of court, I'm like, I bet they just paid them off. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, they just gave them money. Yep. That's right. And then the other one that I feel like we have to mention is Philip. Black Philip, yeah. Did you know that? I wish I had it. The Black Philip Funko Pop. Did you see that
one?
Oh,
yes. I have seen it.
I thought that was so cute. So Black Philip is from The Witch, Robert Edgar's The Witch from 2015, and is the devil on Earth, Satan himself, in the form of a black billy goat. Very spooky.
Honestly, an icon.
An icon.
So scary when he's still a goat, and then at the end when he transforms too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, I think there's parts in the Bible as well of like wanting, you know, God's sheep versus Satan's mm-hmm. goats. So I think the imagery, you know, goes back and forth a long time. Imagery tends to repeat itself over and over again. And even when you think of like the devil having horns, think of Maleficent having those big ram horns. And we, Lauren and I actually went to a really cool talk years ago now. It was before the pandemic, I guess.
Was it the meatball subs?
Yeah, the meatball subs. When we went to this talk about the devil as depicted in pop culture. And he didn't specifically talk too much about the goat imagery that I remember, but there is always this like idea of like the horns that comes up a lot. And I don't know, it all just kind of gets mixed together into one pot, even though it's all kind of very different things that come from very different places. I think when people are looking for something to worship or something to hate, things just kind of get lumped together in this good versus bad versus what actually something means or comes from. And when you think back to the very first thing I told you, which is that the whole word of Baphomet was a mishearing of the word Muhammad, and it's just like a dumb mistake. It's like, what does anything mean?
Like, I love that, that it started with that.
Yeah, like I don't, it doesn't seem to be anything that anyone thought really existed. It just kind of snowballed throughout centuries to be this like devilish depiction, this like demon that we've learned to love over time.
I love that. That was my first thought when you were talking about the Bible stuff, because that was a lot of my like Sunday school learning was like very like the, even the class that like I took for several years is called like the Good Shepherd. And so the like,
oh yeah, exactly.
Jesus watching over his sheep was like a big theme in all of my Catholic upbringing. And so, yeah, like the idea that like goats are somehow like sheep gone wrong, or like, you know, like the version of sheep.
Have you ever watched the videos of goats screaming?
Oh my God, they're scary.
That is an unpleasant sound. There is something that sounds a little evil about that.
I mean, even Black Phillip in The Witch, like just like living his life on the farm is like just scary. Yeah. Like their eyes are these like weird little slits, or like their pupils are scary.
Yeah, and they like really like don't give a fuck. Like goats, like I've met I actually had a goat named after me once.
What?
My cousins have raised goats for many years. And so there was, when they were little and I was the favorite cousin at the time, they named one Felicia, which was
very sweet. That.
I don't know what happened to Felicia the goat.
Is Felicia alive?
Honestly, somewhere out there? I'm not sure. but yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing how certain things become good and evil, and some things you're supposed to be scared of and some things you're supposed to worship. Does any of it have meaning, or have we just put meaning on these things? It's, I don't know. It's an interesting thought.
I know. And now it's like, I don't know. I think about like the trickle down too of like, why would we want to aspire after being sheep and just like following along blindly and joining the herd? And
well, and that's what religion is, right? That's actually, that's the imagery, because that's what they want you to do.
But now all these conservatives saying, don't be sheep.
Don't be sheep unless you're going to follow me. In that case, be a sheep.
I know. Man, yeah. It is so interesting. Maybe we should all want to be goats. Black Phillip.
Yeah, Black Phillip for the win. But yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. That's Baphomet. That's all I got for you today. That's it.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. I feel so much more knowledgeable about I'm going to take that Muhammad thing into the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. So thank you all so much. And next week we'll have another episode led by Lauren on a very spooky topic. And we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.